helping others fight drug and alcohol addiction through the story of her own struggle. Just ahead, a follow-up conversation with local activist and author Tracy Collins. Good morning, and live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross, and we're always live on the radio at 9. You can also get our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or through the WJCT app. Just ahead, Tracy Collins is back on the show, Tracy.com, on her journey to sobriety. A conversation with Tracy and her doctor just ahead. Get on the line now. Do you have a loved one struggling with addiction? It can be so tough, especially at the holidays. We want your calls. It's 549-2937 to join the show right now. Then later, growing your own herbs and vegetables right at home, just the way grandma used to do. Some tips for you in today's Going Green. Plus, a special treat later on in the hour. It's actor Jason Woods. Find out about his holiday tradition, an amazing one-man show of A Christmas Carol. That's this weekend here in town. All of that ahead. But first this hour, she's the lovable local media personality we all know as Tracy.com. But Tracy Collins shocked friends and fans earlier this year when she revealed that she's an alcoholic. Now, since going public with her stunning announcement, Tracy has been inundated both with offers of support and many pleas for help from hundreds of people in this community, people just like her, people struggling with addiction. It was something Tracy kept hidden for many years. It can be so tough to deal with a drug or alcohol problem, and the holidays can only exacerbate this struggle. Now, when Tracy appeared on this show several weeks ago, she was just overwhelmed with calls from listeners as she shared her story and talked about her new book. It's called Stumbling Into Sobriety. This morning, she's making a return engagement, and she's brought someone with her. Dr. Brian Jackson, specialist in addictive disorders at Jacksonville's Greenfield Center. He joins us in studio along with Tracy Collins. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Melissa.
It's so good to have you on the show, Tracy. Always great to see you. And doctor, thanks for being here too.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And here's our question to callers. Are you a fan of Tracy Collins? Do you have a loved one out there who's struggling with addiction? Maybe you are struggling with alcohol or drug addiction. It's not an easy path for anyone, and the holidays can be especially hard. Right now, we have a specialist right here in studio to take your calls. We want to hear your stories. We want to connect you to help. It's 549-2937 to join us. That's 549-2937. Or go online and send your emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Tweets to @MelissaInJax. You can also let us know how you're doing out there and what you're thinking about on our Facebook page. So it was a bombshell. What has it been, a couple months ago since you made this announcement?
It really was. And I have to say that I was shocked mostly. So the people who called me that want help, I was able to share my experience. I mean, obviously I'm not a professional, but I was able to share my experience only and encourage people to get help. But what was overwhelming was how many parents reached out to me. And it just broke my heart. In fact, I wrote a chapter about that since being on your show that you can read at thecrushedvelvetproject.com under about the book called The Addict Beside Me. And it was overwhelming, and I felt like I was completely out of my league when it came to that. So, of course, my next step was to go back to Dr. Brian Jackson and say, what do I say to these people? Because I didn't want to leave them hanging.
Yeah. Dr. Jackson, so many people reached out to Tracy and said, help me, or help my son, or help my friend. You are a specialist in addiction. You've been with the Greenfield Center in Jacksonville for 15 years, and you helped Tracy with her treatment. Mm-hmm. Tracy's story is not unusual.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel like they're terminally unique, this is something that they're either ashamed of or don't want to reveal, or just going through so much pain that they're different. But in fact, the disease is very widespread, and the good thing about treatment is that you realize that you're not alone, and we provide individual and group counseling in a non-judgmental way. We also help family members, too, because this really is a family disease.
It affects the whole family.
Yeah. You know, family members actually get sicker than the person suffering from the disease. You know, their life is fragmented. They can't focus. They can't concentrate. They have a lot of anxiety. They get depression. They go to the doctor more often, because if you think about the alcoholic or addict is powerless over their situation in terms of being able to stop. Think how powerless the family members are in trying to figure out why won't they just stop.
Yeah. Right, and it's easier said than done. Help for Addicts, it's 549-2937 to join us as we talk with Tracy Collins and Dr. Brian Jackson of the Greenfield Center. You, for many years, hid your heavy drinking from the world.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. In fact, there's another chapter in the book, Melissa, about the day that I went to your 50th birthday party, where I went 15 minutes late on purpose so that I could drink before I went.
Really?
And people would have, you know, a mimosa by the time I got there, thinking, oh, they won't smell the alcohol in my breath.
Wow.
Already. So there's revelation. See, aren't you shocked?
I never would have guessed that. I remember you just seemed like your usual happy, bubbly self at that event.
Yeah. And you know what's so great about recovery is that there was an ebb where I felt like, oh, well, maybe I'm not as much fun when I'm drinking. And then suddenly there was this flow of I was back to who I am without alcohol. And we were discussing this in the green room. Dr. Jackson and I were, and he was talking about how, I'll let you go ahead, but talking about how you have to give yourself that little bit of a break coming out of that part of the brain. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, 80% of people who have an addiction have some sort of dual diagnosis, and typically 80% of that 80% that I see is some form of depression and or anxiety. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these are things that come to the surface that, you know, we've kind of been doing the self-abandonment in terms of dealing with the restlessness, the irritability, discontent, anxiety, depression, whatever it is. The default thinking of the brain is if I take a drink, if I take a drug, it's going to calm all this.
People are self-medicating.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And millions of Americans are doing this. What would you say to those out there listening, particularly at this time of year, when alcohol is just flowing everywhere you go? And if you're struggling and you're trying to avoid alcohol, it can be really difficult. Or if you have anxiety and depression and you have a substance abuse problem of some other kind, holidays can be even more stressful and anxiety-producing than the rest of the year.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, the holidays, you know, it's a festive time for a lot of people who don't have a problem, for people who do have a problem. And when I say a problem, it's not a problem, it's an illness, and it's very important that people don't define themselves as an addict or an alcoholic. It's like any other illness. It's just part of who you are. But for those people who are in recovery, trying not to drink, trying not to drug, and they find themselves in those situations, my recommendation always is to arrive a little bit late, make sure you have some food in your stomach, make sure you have your own non-alcoholic drink in your hand, and absolutely make sure you have your own means of transportation to exit mm-hmm. the situation when you get uncomfortable. So, you know, there's a whole series of firsts. You know, if you've been partying at, or using at every one of these holidays, it's difficult.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with local media personality and author Tracy Collins. Her new book is called Stumbling Into Sobriety. What are your questions as we talk about alcoholism awareness here on the show today? For her and Dr. Brian Jackson of the Greenfield Center, and do you have a loved one out there? Let us know. Let us know what's going on in your family at 549-2937. Now, of course, as you know, Tracy, because you walked this path yourself, you can't force people into treatment. They have to make the decision themselves.
No, absolutely not. And one of the reasons why I decided to write the book, other than putting a face on alcoholism and saying, hey, you know, it's not the guy under the bridge, okay? It's people just like you and me. Give me a call. Let me help you. I also did it because when I finally did make the decision to get sober, I didn't know where to go. The people who were pushing me to go, I said, okay, what do I do now? And they go, I don't know. And so I wanted to share my story about my struggles trying to figure out where to go, how I did eventually come into contact with Brian, and then the changes that were made in the process. Mm-hmm. So I want to be helpful for people who are like, I don't know what to do next. Now what?
Sure. And you went, you found the Greenfield Center how?
I had called my insurance company. This is huge for people to know. Your employers do not have to know. If you have insurance, call your insurance company and just ask about what the options are for treatment facilities, and they will give you a list. And then I just did my due diligence, and I called and asked questions and looked on their websites, and I met with Brian and immediately knew that that's exactly where I needed to be. And I remember I thought I needed inpatient treatment. We talked about it, determined that outpatient would be best for me, and he said, if you change your mind by the time you're finished, then we can discuss that option. But if you go to the crushedvelvetproject.com and look at the video, you see literally video of me drunk before I went to go visit Brian, and then 10 weeks later. And he was right. 10 weeks later, I completely transformed. I transformed mentally because I had learned things about my body that I didn't know about my body. I realized how close I was to death because people kept saying, you're going to die. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Well, Melissa, I can't begin to tell you how many people have come to me and said, my mother died, my father died, my grandmother died. And the number is always, they were 53, they were 54. And I was coming up on my 50th birthday. And I thought, man, I am close to death.
And you learned this through your treatment that
yes.
Just years of heavy alcohol abuse had really done a number on your health.
Yes. I thought if I was keeping an eye on my liver enzymes, I would be fine. But the truth is, and Dr. Jackson, you can share that there's a lot of other things people die from.
Yeah. What are some other related causes of death, doctor, that happen with some patients that you have treated or people that you've known?
Specifically alcohol or other drugs?
Both.
Yeah. You know, I read your piece, The 904, and, you know, we talk about and focus on the death rate, you know, here in Jacksonville, the murder rate, which mm-hmm. is unfortunate. But last year we lost 450 people to overdoses here in Jacksonville, Florida. You know, and people think, well, heroin, and right now there is a lot of heroin overdoses, but there are a tremendous amount of overdoses from alcohol poisoning where your autorespiratory system shuts down and mm-hmm. and you end up, unfortunately, dying.
People think it's booze. Oh, it's legal. It's sociable. It's everywhere. This won't kill me. Is that it?
Well, yeah, but you know, I like to kick the daylights out of the obvious. You know, if something's causing a problem, it is a problem. So, if alcohol is causing problems in your life, some are more pronounced and easy to see, i.e., a DUI or a divorce as a result of it. But the next two questions, really, for people wondering if they have a problem, is: have you ever absolutely set a limit for yourself? I am only going to have 3 drinks. You determine that's all you're going to have, and you end up having 6, 7, 8. Mm-hmm. You know, who's in control, you or the alcohol? And then the third question would be, have you ever been less than honest about your drinking? Somebody asks you, how much have you had to drink? You say 2, and you've had 8. People that don't have a problem don't have to be less than honest about how much they drink.
So. Those are good ways to know if you have a problem. Let's go to some calls now for Tracy Collins and Dr. Jackson. As we talk about Tracy's alcoholism awareness campaign, The Crushed Velvet Project, and her book, Stumbling Into Sobriety, 549-2937. Lowell is on the road out there. Hey, Lowell, good morning.
Good morning, Lowell.
Good morning. Once again, thank you for your show. Thank you for the questions you raised.
Sure.
Big question. With the advances in the legalization of cannabis, are we seeing any correlation, since we know alcoholism is such a killer? Is there any reduction in alcoholism or alcohol-related deaths in the areas where cannabis has been legalized?
Thanks for that question. Dr. Jackson.
Well, that's an interesting question. It's a good question. There's been a lot of studies done now, actually, by the beverage companies that provide beverages, is that they're guesstimating or estimating or projecting that the use of alcohol will decrease with the legalization of marijuana. So I don't know if that specifically answers your question. I don't know if that's going to be true or not true, but in any event, That's what the statistics are showing right now.
And are you, what's a, I'm assuming there is no typical patient for you at the Greenfield Center, but can you give us a sense of what types of patients, who's coming to you most often? People dealing with alcohol or drug abuse or a combination?
Oh, it's a combination. We're all over the board. We've been there for 30 years consecutively, and it seems like every 2 or 3 years the drug of choice changes. Over the last 3 years, opioids, when we had the pill mills here, the ready access to pain medications was the big abuse. Unfortunately, now it's turned to heroin because the price of the pills on the street are 10 times what they used to be. And so with heroin, you can get the same effect for less money. But so the demographics, there are very few purists. But right now we're seeing a lot of alcohol in our, probably 70 to 80% of our census is alcohol related.
And Tracy, you're living proof that an alcoholic is your neighbor, your friend, your coworker, a prominent person in the community. It's a legal drug.
Yep.
It's an easily available drug. It's one that we have in social settings. So if you have a predisposition to having a problem with this drug, it can be a very tough thing to deal with. Your drug of choice was always alcohol. You never veered off into anything else.
Nope, never veered off, fortunately. But unfortunately, because it is so social, it was so easy to hide because I could go out and drink. I could even, and you know, I write in the book that I had enough redeeming qualities that if I did have a slip, you know, and kind of went a little overboard, I didn't even have to make excuses for myself. People would make excuses for me. Oh, she just, you know, she's just partying too much because it was a celebration. Or
it was part of your brand almost.
Yeah.
People saw you or still see you as this fun-loving person.
Yep. And I still
but
am that person.
But that led to trouble for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I still promote, I even promote events like alcohol-related events. I don't have I write about how I'm not trying to create a world full of teetotalers. Mm-hmm. I do recognize that there are plenty of people out there who can drink responsibly. I, unfortunately, was not one of them. Once I started, I could not stop.
How are you doing now here at the holidays?
I'm doing great. Yes, my recommendation is go ahead and make a self video of you trashed like I did, and you'll never want to go back to that. You'll never go back to that.
What have been some of the most interesting reactions you've gotten to that video? Because you went very public with this. You posted it.
I sure did. For those of you who hadn't seen it, it is a selfie video that I took after not showering from Friday to Sunday, hair just a rat mess. All sweaty, talking about how I guess I need to get some sleep. I do need to work tomorrow. And it's like 2:00 in the afternoon. So my MO during that time would be to go ahead and fall asleep, but then I'd wake up about 10, figure out how many drinks I could have before I had to get up in the morning, you know, based on one drink per hour, do enough shots to do that, get the buzz back, and then pass out again until it was time to get up the next morning. Mm. This was my life. So yeah, there are people who are like, what? What was going on? And but yeah, you know, fortunate to be a woman because with enough hairspray and makeup, you can hide just about anything.
All right, let's take a few more calls for Tracy and Dr. Jackson. It's 549-2937. Jake is on the road to Middleburg this morning. Hey, Jake, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I was calling to make a comment about, well, mainly the availability of alcohol and drugs. I work in a detox facility, and I heard one of the last callers was asking about the correlation between cannabis being legalized and alcohol being consumed. I can say from seeing thousands of patients, I don't think it's going to decrease. It's about availability. And everything that's available, I mean, people can buy fentanyl patches off the street, people can buy any drug they want off the street, but alcohol is everywhere, and its availability, I don't think, is going to diminish. So it's really tough for someone going through the process to make a decision to tone it down without, as your speaker is saying, having that experience, that humiliation to say, hey, I can fix this or I can adjust this, or to have support behind them to avoid how available their addiction is. So I was just calling to make that comment. It's,
sure.
It's availability is a big problem.
It is, yes. Jake, thanks so much for sharing that. And he works in a detox facility, so really good insights there. Dr. Jackson, what about that?
Yeah, and it's important to recognize that there's only two drugs or substances that you can die from in withdrawal. One of them is alcohol, and the other one is benzodiazepines, i.e. Xanax, Valium, Klonopin, things of that nature. So you cannot die from withdrawals from opioids, heroin, pain medication. You wish you could die from them, but you don't.
You're going to be in a world of hurt, but you'll survive.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you know the same with cocaine, crystal meth, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, the ready availability of alcohol is difficult. I think if they invented alcohol today, they would not make it legal. It affects the mind and body to the negative unbelievably. They did a survey anonymously of 100 doctors who put on the death certificate of people who were alcoholics and their deaths were directly related to alcohol. They would put down stroke, heart attack, things of that nature. But yes, it's readily available. And just like your caller just said, everything else is really readily available. And, mm-hmm. you know, people say, well, how do you get heroin? How do you get cocaine? How do you get fentanyl patches? Well, they're pretty readily available, too. Unfortunately, you can't go into a store and buy them.
Yeah, you can buy booze anywhere. Mm-hmm. And, what he just said, what Dr. Jackson just said, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
That those are the two substances that you will die upon withdrawal.
Yes.
I didn't know that it was alcohol and Klonopin, prescribed medication. I was not aware of that.
On our first meeting, I remember he said, where did you go to detox? And I said, I didn't. I just stopped. And his head snapped forward, and he said, you just stopped on your own? And I said, yeah. And is that a bad thing? And he said, well, yeah. And because of the amount of alcohol I told him I was consuming, it would have potentially ended in a face plant.
How much a day were you?
At a minimum, it would have been 10 shots. That's a minimum. I was at that point of what you hear it's called the vodka express, where you're just consuming, you don't need a mixer, you don't need anything.
Straight up vodka.
Yeah, you just want that high to feel normal.
And your brain chemistry had probably been so altered.
Well,
right?
I learned new things about myself as I got sober, but I didn't understand that I had the ability, for example, living in today, living in the now. I never knew how to do that, but I realized as I got sober, it's because I've been drinking my whole life. So, of course, I didn't know who my authentic self was. It's been so much fun discovering my authentic self.
Let's go to Chuck at the Beaches. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, guys. I was able to listen to your guest the last time she was here. And what I want to talk about is being proactive. And what I learned from her last time is she learned this over a period of, sounds like, 15 or 20 years. So my question is this. If you took the wisdom that you have in your head now and you were proactive and you went to a college and you taught 500 kids and you took the wisdom that's in your head and you try to put it in their head. And out of the 500 people, 100 of them had an addictive personality. And out of those 100, 20 of those people took that information that's in your head proactively and started living their life in a way that they wouldn't suffer from alcoholism or drug addiction. I guess my point is this. When you see what happens on college campuses with drinking and things, and the way you described it, it was like party time. Can we take the wisdom you have and teach our younger children and people so that they're proactive and some of them will have an epiphany and not suffer from this? Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck.
I have three phases that I'm working on with the Crushed Velvet Project. One is writing the book. Two is speaking exactly like what Chuck was talking about. And then three is providing scholarships for people who want to go to treatment but can't afford to. And so I am currently on phase one, working on getting stuff together for phase two. But that's exactly what I want to do, Chuck. I want to get on campuses. I want to go to Rotaries. I want to scream this from the top of the mountains that, you know, there is help out there. You just need to ask for it.
We are getting lots of calls from people who need help right now. It's 549-2937 to join the show. Chelsea is in Palatka. Hi, Chelsea. Good morning.
Hello.
Hey.
Good morning. Okay, I'm tuned in, listening, and I just wanted to make a quick comment about somebody who was talking about, you know, marijuana. Well, I myself could not afford insurance, health insurance, and I'm next. Heroin to be good, and I was a heavy IV user. I lost my daughter due to addiction. Well, I lost custody of her anyways. Now everything's coming back. Everything's a lot better now because I wanted to change. I couldn't do it anymore. And I did it with marijuana, honestly. A drug is a drug is a drug, as some people say. But I went from using $100 to $200 worth of heroin a day IV use to taking a couple puffs off the joint just to get through the withdrawals, and it worked. Unfortunately, you know, I couldn't go to treatment because I didn't have insurance, and I don't have $50,000 to put down, you know, to go. No addict has $50,000 to go to a treatment facility. If they do, that's awesome, but most of us don't, unfortunately. So marijuana, actually, medicinally, did help a lot. It's the only way through. Otherwise, I would still be doing whatever it is I had to do to get my next fix. And IV use, as it's horrible. It's horrendous. It's tell on your family. It's tell on yourself. You'll lose it. You'll sell your right toe if you could. I mean...
Well, I'm so sorry, Chelsea, and I think you mentioned you need health insurance or you need a way to get treatment. Is that right?
Well, now, I mean, yeah, I'm okay. I'm fortunate enough to be in recovery, but that's the problem, is there is no health insurance. Oh, there is, but, I mean, people can't afford it. Addicts, they can't afford health insurance. They can't afford really anything, because all their money goes to their addiction. It fuels and feeds their addiction.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Chelsea. Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Jackson, for all the people out there listening that can't afford to come to treatment, what should you tell them?
Well, there are some wonderful state and federally funded programs. As a matter of fact, we have two right here in Jacksonville. One is Gateway, and the other one is River Region. There's also places that will work on a sliding scale in terms of payment. You know, as far as IV heroin, because you can't die from the withdrawals, rarely will an insurance company, even if you have insurance, pay for you to be into inpatient treatment facility for more than 10, 15 days. Now, some people have some Cadillac insurance that they can stay. But medication management and outpatient treatment, and an outpatient treatment is probably less than 10% of what an inpatient treatment facility would cost. So you need to learn how to live life on life's terms, because out in the real world is where we're used. I'm in my 17th year of recovery myself. It's really, really important to recognize that, you know, being in an environment in an inpatient treatment facility, all your choices are taken away from you. You get healthy, you get off your medication, or you get off your drug of choice. You know, you get up and you get healthy, but then you get out. And that's where the real challenge is, dealing with life on life's terms in the real environment.
And you've been in recovery for how many years?
17 years.
And it's a day-by-day thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a day-by-day thing, but, you know, it's a wonderful lifestyle. As far as I'm concerned, I can't imagine going back to that lifestyle, but have no delusion that that just because I'm 17 years sober that I'm going to stay sober for the rest of my life. So I have to address it on a daily basis and do the things that I suggest to patients myself.
We have an anonymous call. Good morning. Good morning. You can just give us any name you want. Good morning.
Hi, this is Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
I got in a bad car accident, and I was getting Dilaudid for, like, months, and then I was, like, hooked to opioids, and I don't even know how I got off of it, but I got hooked to that. I was like, well, it's better to be an alcoholic than an opioid addict, so I just drank and drank and drank, and then ended my marriage with divorce, and then drank some more and drank some more, And I was fortunately living in a state where, sorry, this is kind of hard for me to talk about.
That's okay.
I was living in a state where marijuana was legal, and I used it recreationally, and got off of it, or I had to move here to be with my family. So I don't know what to do now, because I want to drink again.
Yeah. Sarah, there is hope for you.
I'll take my answer off there. Thank you.
Okay, keep listening, Sarah. Where can Sarah get some help?
Well, firstly, heroin or Dilaudid, which is a strong pain medication, and you know, you came by the pain honestly. So people with true chronic pain, sometimes they have to be, well, they do have to be prescribed medication for pain in a lot of instances. But the pathways to the brain for alcohol and for opioids, heroin, are the same. So, you know, I see a lot of people that say alcohol was never my thing. You know, I only did heroin and I've stopped the heroin and now I'm going to drink. So we really have to be careful with whatever it is, because as addicts, we like to change the way we feel. And so it's like changing chairs on the Titanic, if you will. Mm-hmm. But there is help. You know, you just need a continuum of care. It sounds like you're very, very willing, and you know, this thing has really got you. So it sounds like you have the willingness, which is 90% of it, you know, and there's 12-step programs out there.
Who should she call?
Well, you know, my suggestion first would be to call Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, you can look them up online. We're blessed here in Jacksonville to have over 640 meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. We also have Narcotics Anonymous. And get involved with a sober network of friends, a sponsor, people who are like-minded, who have had the same experience, so that you don't feel alone. This is not easy, but it's harder to try and do it on your own. So,
and as you mentioned, there are sliding scale treatment programs at both Gateway Community Services and River Region Services, and your center, of course, the Greenfield Center, is at St. Vincent's Hospital.
Right. Well, I think that Gateway and River Region are actually cost free because they're state and federally funded. And again, I'm not 100% sure, but there are facilities that are sliding scale. At our facility, we will work with people. You know, again, you know, you hear about people that they get to treatment and they have no money left. So if your habit is $200 a day, okay, so if you do the math on that, that's $6,000 a month. If you stop using, your bank account is going to get dramatically better quickly, you know.
I want to say, too, Sarah, if you go to thecrushedvelvetproject.com and email me your phone number, I will happily give you a call.
Yeah, it's thecrushedvelvetproject.com. That's Tracy's alcoholism awareness website. Karen in Mandarin. Hi, Karen. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
My question is, you mentioned earlier about how it affects the family. It's kind of a crazy-making situation when you're living with someone who is so addicted. What kind of resources are out there for families?
That's a great question. And, you know, family members, as I said earlier, get affected way more, actually, than the addict, because you're just so out of control and trying to figure out how to stop this. You know, at the end of the day, you can build a wall 80 feet high, you know, around the alcoholic or the addict, and if they want to use, they'll find a way. But for family members, my first suggestion always is Al-Anon. Al-Anon is family members of loved ones who are suffering from an illness. And again, you won't feel like you're alone. You'll learn some, you know, coping strategies in terms of how to deal with your situation, what you're doing, maybe what you shouldn't be doing in terms of enabling other people. And then there's wonderful counselors here in town that deal with family members of the alcoholic or the addict.
And the website for Al-Anon in Jacksonville is jaxafg.org. jaxafg.org. So Tracy, thanks again for appearing on the show. What are your final thoughts for people out there?
My final thoughts are, if you have even a inkling of thinking, I want to possibly pursue not feeling crappy again, then just say, I need help. Again, go to thecrushedvelvetproject.com, email me, ask me anything. I will gladly share stories, resources. I will move mountains to help people get help.
Thank you both so much for being here, and have a wonderful holiday. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Melissa.
She's Tracy Collins and Dr. Brian Jackson, specialist in addictive disorders at Jacksonville's Greenfield Center. Again, Tracy's website is The Crushed Velvet Project. And much more still ahead later. Actor Jason Woods, don't miss his amazing one-man show this weekend in the classic A Christmas Carol. We'll tell you about it. But up next, an old custom made new, how to grow your own vegetable garden right at home. That's in today's Going Green. We'll be right back.
Hendrix Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
WJCT and Vistar Credit Union are honoring the memory of Fred Rogers with the 15th annual Mr. Rogers Sweater Drive. The drive runs through November 30th and accepts new and gently used sweaters, jackets, and blankets. Contributions may be dropped off at WJCT and all Vistar Credit Union branches, Two Men in a Truck, and the Tom Bush family of dealerships. For more information, log on to WJCT.org. Contributions will be donated to selected nonprofit facilities within the First Coast area.
I'm Tom Hudson.
And I'm Melissa Ross. From the State House to the Everglades to the Panhandle, Florida has a unique story.
So join us every Friday for the Florida Roundup.
And hear from newsmakers, journalists, and Floridians from all across the state.
About the issues that matter to you.
The Florida Roundup, Fridays at 1 on WJCT.
The WJCT app. Now you can watch PBS programs on demand, including PBS Kids, right from your phone or tablet. Listen to live streaming audio, WJCT News, and NPR programs.
This is First Coast Connect.
Easily access the WJCT TV and radio schedule. Connect to WJCT social media and much more. The WJCT app, available now in the Apple App Store and Google Play.
This Going Green segment is made possible by A1A Solar.
Welcome back. Well, one way to make sure you have an ample supply of fresh vegetables and herbs in your diet is to grow your own. But it can be a chore to keep up a garden. So the local company Garden of Eaton plants and builds beautiful culinary gardens right on your property. We're going to learn more from Zach Fury, the owner of Garden of Eaton. He joins us now in today's Going Green. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And it's so good to have you. You know, it's amazing how this has come back into the culture, what our grandparents and great-grandparents just did the old-fashioned way has come roaring back. People want to grow their own herbs, fruits, and vegetables. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
And I want to do this. So you saw the opportunity in the market, the demand. People want to do this, but they might not really know the best way to go about it. That's where you come in.
Absolutely. It's really tough. I mean, people get frustrated and they think that it takes a lot more than it really does. But when you go about it the right way, and having me do everything for you is the best way to go about it, we actually build container gardens, culinary gardens, and we bring them to the client's house and plant everything for them. So basically all that they have to do is just make sure that it has water and they get to watch it grow and eat it. And it just makes it so much more of a beneficial, rewarding experience whenever you're bringing something to your table that you got to watch grow and, you know,
yeah,
almost create a relationship with.
So you plant it as a container, so it's not really in the ground. It's raised up off the ground.
Correct. It's raised up off the ground. It makes it a lot easier for our clients as far as accessibility and keeping weeds out and certain critters like rabbits and things like that to where they can't get into it.
Yeah.
So it just makes it much easier to use.
How did you get started in this?
I've always had a background in landscaping and also restaurant management and things like that and light construction. And this actually happened to be a combination of all three. I built one for my wife, 5 years ago, because I've been doing this for about 5 years now. And I saw how much she used it and just absolutely loved it. And she loves to cook. And there's just the benefits of grabbing something out of your backyard, putting it on your plate, the nutrients and the vitamins that you get out of it, as opposed to getting something from the grocery store that's traveled who knows how many thousands of miles before it gets to your table. When you've got something like this, you're going to get a lot more out of it.
People probably have popular requests for what they want in their garden. What are the most popular gardens you create for people?
It is really all over the place, just because everybody's so different. But I mean, we can create a garden customized to your size and your wants and needs, whether it be you want something for, you love salads, we'll do a salad garden. You like to juice, we can do a juicing garden. You like tea, we can do a tea garden. Salsa gardens, you know, cutting flower gardens really too. So really, it's just really what the people want. They let us know, or if they don't have a preference and just say, hey, give me whatever you think's the best, then that's what we do. Or if they say, hey, I want this, or I want this, and I'll say, this you can do, this you can't do, this doesn't play well with other plants and things like that.
Now, on your Facebook page, Garden of Eden, people can also learn about, once they grow their herbs and flowers and vegetables, what they can do with them, the recipes they can make out of them.
Our Facebook page, it's Garden of Eden Jacks, and we have, I can't even remember, I think over 8,000, 9,000 followers or something right now. It's, people really love it. Every day there's a new fun fact, whether it be how to dry herbs or freeze herbs or, you know, fun recipes or different things and crafts, everything.
How big are these gardens? You're basically putting it on a table and delivering it to the customer. How big is it?
We can do different sizes. Typically what we do is 2 by 2 foot by 4 foot.
Okay.
You know, so it doesn't take up too much space. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, I want a garden, but I really don't have the yard for it. I mean, if you have a condo balcony space that you're not using, you can put a garden there. I've done it before, you know? So It's like people often think that they're restricted by it, but it really doesn't take too much, especially when you do it this route.
And this has become so popular because, as you said, people are more interested than ever in sustainability and eating local produce. And this is one way you can do that, even if you live in the heart of the city.
Oh, absolutely. Another thing, too, is, you know, people are concerned with sustainability. They're also concerned about, you know, what their plants go through. I mean, when you do it, when you have it in this type of situation, you can control the type of fertilizers and stuff like that. Of course, when I set it up, I fertilize everything for our clients, and it's all organic, and I don't use any pesticides or anything like that. And as they tend for it and stuff like that, then they can control the fact that they know that there's not, you know, buying a bag of spinach at the grocery store can be kind of dicey sometimes.
The gardens cost $285. So there is an upfront cost, but then once the garden's up and going, you've got your vegetables, herbs, flowers for a long time.
Oh, absolutely. And it's, the garden's not going to be going anywhere anyway. So after those vegetables and herbs are gone, you know, you can replant. And we actually offer a service to where I can come out and replant, you know, whether it be a time for lettuces. And then when we get into the spring, we start doing more things like tomatoes and peppers and things like that.
It's almost spring planting season.
I know. It's coming up quick.
It's a good time to call Zach at Garden of Eden. Good to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
He's Zach Fury, and the website is gardenofeatonplants.com. And you can also find them on Facebook. It's today's Going Green on the show. A quick break, and in a moment, the timeless tale of Ebenezer Scrooge is on a local stage, as we speak with actor and producer Jason Woods about his holiday tradition, the one-man show, A Christmas Carol. That's after this.
The nation is focusing on sexual harassment in Congress. But what about in your state capital? Women in at least 20 states are saying, Me Too, accusing lawmakers there of sexual misconduct. What will it take to clean up our state houses and make them more welcoming to women in politics? Next time on 1A. Weekdays at 10 after First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
on the next Fresh Air.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 45th and final President of the United States.
We hear from the two stars of the Comedy Central series, The President Show, Anthony Atamanik, who plays President Trump, and Peter Gross, who plays Vice President Pence. The show is like a late-night talk show hosted by the president with the vice president as a sidekick. Join us weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
I'm Marco Werman. PRI's The World brings you more than just today's news.
Well, the poor old British pub has been around for 2,000 years.
We introduce you to people around the globe.
I'm a Liberian, but I'm part of Africa.
If we were only in Argentina.
I think it's a Scottish thing, you know? This sense of doom there, but it's always kind of amusing to us.
Join us and hear The World. Weekday afternoons at 3 on 89.9 WJCT.
I'm Stephen Dubner, host of Freakonomics Radio. Every week, Freakonomics Radio explores the hidden side of everything, from what our Google searches reveal about us, to whether the American dream is still alive, to whether rich people are really more selfish than poor people. I hope you'll join me Sunday at 1 p.m. on 89.9 WJCT.
Well, finally, this hour, the timeless tale of Ebenezer Scrooge is back on a local stage this weekend. Dickens' classic A Christmas Carol is at the Historic Theater Jacksonville this Sunday. One day only, but two shows you can check out. And they star local actor and writer and producer Jason Woods in a tour de force performance. He joins us now along with show sponsor Lisa Goodrich. Good morning to you both.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Also
good morning.
In studio, Maya Pinfield as the ghost of Christmas Past. She's a student at Douglas Anderson. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
All right. Good to see you guys. And Jason, I have been fortunate enough to see you in this production. It's become a holiday tradition in Jacksonville. You're just amazing in this show as Ebenezer Scrooge, but you take on almost all of the parts. It's a one-man show.
Well, technically, it's one man doing it, but there's no such thing as a one-man show, I think, as evidenced by all of the beautiful support I have this year.
Right. Now, Lisa Goodrich, you're one of the sponsors of A Christmas Carol this Sunday. What motivated you to be part of it?
I saw the show last year for the first time, and I believe last year was the fifth year in a row that he's done it throughout the city, and we had a chance to see it. It's riveting. Mm-hmm. We all know the story, but you lose yourself. You lose yourself in the fact that he plays 25 characters, and they just flow seamlessly between characters. It's on the edge of your seat. It's fantastic.
Right. 20. I didn't know it was that many.
25
characters. Incredible.
Yeah, it's a crowded house at home.
Your head's an interesting place to be during this production.
It's busy.
Indeed.
Now, Maya, you're a senior at Douglas Anderson, but you play in this show, The Ghost of Christmas Past.
I do. I work with Jason as one voice, and it's amazing being on stage with him because I've done other productions with him, and I'm so thankful to have him in my life because he's so incredibly passionate, and to see him on stage is going to be extremely invigorating.
Jason is an amazing performer, and he's also mounted several original productions around town. Just a huge talent on our local scene. And we have a special treat now because both of you are going to perform an excerpt from A Christmas Carol. What piece of the show is this?
Well, since Maya's here, I think it will work if we do a section from the scene where The Ghost of Christmas Past shows Scrooge, Scrooge's late sister, who died very young.
Always a delicate creature, whom a breath might have withered, but she had a large heart.
Yes, she did, Spirit. I'll not deny that. God forbid.
She died a woman, and had, as I think, children.
One child. True. Your nephew.
That's a little section from A Christmas Carol.
Yay!
Well done, well done.
That I thought you were going to keep going.
you lose yourself. You have to come Sunday. It, right?
That's just a slight hint of the magic you can see this Sunday as Jason Woods performs more than two dozen roles in the classic Charles Dickens tale, A Christmas Carol. And Maya Pinfield, performing the voice of the Ghost of Christmas Past, she is a senior at Douglas Anderson School of the Arts. Yeah. Just two shows this Sunday, right? A matinee and an evening show?
That's correct. 2 o'clock and 7:30, and tickets are at jasonwoodsactor.com. And the hashtag is Get Scrooged.
Very nice. So this is the sixth year you've done this?
Yes, it is.
Backed by popular demand. I think people really expect this now, don't they?
I have heard that. There's a lovely story. I have to say, a couple have been coming every year, and they've been married 20 years, and they're in their 70s, and they just found out they have a daughter. She's 38, and they just found out, and one of the first things they wanted to share with her was this show, and that's such an honor. It's just going to be a special night for them.
This would be an excellent thing to bring the family to this Sunday, Lisa.
I completely agree. It really is. It's like I said, it's the classic tale. We all know the story, and everyone, all ages, will love it. It's mesmerizing.
It really is. Jason is such a talent. Go to jasonwoodsactor.com. Get your tickets now for two performances only of A Christmas Carol this Sunday, December 3rd. Shows at 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. at Historic Theater Jacksonville in the San Marco Square. Lisa Goodrich, Jason Woods, Maya Pinfield, thanks for being with us. Break a leg.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Melissa.
My pleasure.
And that's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers today. Our producer is Kevin Mershart. Michelle Corum runs the board during the hour. The show theme is composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony's Pyotr Chevchik. If you missed any portion of today's program, you can catch our rebroadcast tonight at 8 p.m. Well, next on 1A, the nation is focused on harassment in Congress, but what about state capitals? That conversation's next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT-FM Jacksonville, your community, your world. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.